On Friday, November 18th, Rosina Grieco will take the Kerner Hall stage at the Royal Conservatory in downtown Toronto for Rosina Grieco, Bach, Beethoven, Chopin, 4 Scherzi, and 24 Preludes, an 8 p.m. start time. She's been called one of the last classical music divas on stage. The award-winning Glenn Gould School alumna, also a recording artist, has played international stages for most of her life, since she was just 4 years old, in fact. Her November program features Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, Chopin's 24 Preludes and 4 Scherzi, as well Bach's Second Partita. It is our pleasure to have Rosina Grieco here on The Oasis for the first time. Welcome.
Hello, Mark. Hello, everyone.
Great to be with you. You got dressed up for the radio, so thank you for doing that.
Of course.
I think it elevates the situation.
I believe in dressing for the occasion.
I love it. This has been quite a musical life for you, and now performing one of the great stages of the world. And your story, by way of your parents, starts in China and then San Diego, and I guess California was home base for a good swath of time?
Yes. So my mother was born in Shanghai. She attended the Shanghai Conservatory, and she was a concert clarinetist and then moved to California to go to USC.
Was it suddenly clarinet in your life right from the get-go, as early as you can remember? Is that the situation?
No. So she met my father, who was a budding entrepreneur at the time.
Right.
And he is Italian. So he's from Avellino, the southern part of Italy, and he is an avid opera lover. So in the house, there was always a lot of chamber music, a lot of piano music, a lot of symphonies, and opera.
An Italian father who loves opera. I mean, that makes...
Makes a lot of sense,
makes
right?
I know.
Do you
reflect now on what it was to be so young yet, you know, professional in many ways early on? Suddenly you've got these parents who love music. Your mother's a performer. You're playing very, very early in your life. Performances, competitions. It's a pretty specific upbringing for somebody.
Yes. I'm a firm believer in following your path in life, following what calls to you, what feeds your soul. And I remember at 4 years old, I was already really loving the idea of being on stage.
Do you actually remember being 4 years old? Do you remember that time in your life?
I look back at photos and I giggle.
That fills in the gaps.
Yeah, it fills in the gaps. I remember the feelings of at that age, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I remember, you know, the excitement that I felt when I was 8 years old. I debuted with the San Diego Symphony, and nothing in my life at the time could compare to it. Nothing in my life made me as motivated and inspired. And I just knew that I had to keep chasing this feeling. So.
And you showed this tremendous amount of talent at a very, very early age, 6 years old. Things start to really, really happen.
Yeah.
You tour, you get on the radio in the States, NPR, a lot of work in San Diego.
Yeah.
And then the big wins, the Bach Festival, the Young Artist Competition in Carnegie Hall, then to Shanghai and cities in China where your mother was born. I mean, what was the turning point for you where you thought, this actually could be my life? This is no longer about my parents' trajectory for me. This is actually where I want to go forward.
I mean, funnily enough, my parents never pushed me to do anything. In fact, I feel like they maybe even wanted me to not.
They were trying to be careful.
Yeah,
sure.
Because, you know, a musician's life, an artist's life is, it's always art first, music first. And I think they just wanted me to be a happy child, but you couldn't keep me away.
Right.
And I got really serious about it, like I said, when I debuted with the San Diego Symphony at 8 years old.
What kind of hours are we talking about when you're young and you're putting in that time?
I feel like when pianists get serious, especially at a young age, it's probably anywhere between 4 and 8.
That's a tremendous amount of playing.
I was homeschooled.
Right.
I never saw it as like a sacrifice. I was never like, oh, I want to be like other kids. I was always like, I get to do this. I get to live my dream. I'm privileged enough to spend my time reading and playing music and going to museums and traveling with my parents. You know, it was a wonderful upbringing.
It's interesting. My daughter was homeschooled as well, and it's one of those situations where you just wonder what that means to friendships and what that means to your life going forward. But it also allows for this tremendous focus.
100%.
If you like.
I was probably a little sheltered.
in the room with the piano?
In the room with the piano. But, you know, there's nothing you can't live and learn and improve on and grow into. So I think, you know, finding myself as an artist and finding myself as a woman, I guess, in today's day and age, it came with a lot of contemplation and self-reflection.
What was the piece where you couldn't wait to attack it yet again, and then the one that brought you tremendous anxiety?
Ooh, all of them.
Right.
They're, you know, I joke about this quite frequently. I used to joke about this in school. Never think you're that great. Like, you finish a piece and you're like, and you play it well, obviously. And after you debut it on stage, you're like, I'm great. This was great. I think I really got the handle on this. And the minute you start to sight read another piece of music you've never read before, and it's everything comes flooding back. It's like, oh, don't think you're that great yet because you haven't made it.
Not to mention,
music will humble you every single time.
Not to mention listening to a recording of where you thought you really had it, you know, 5 years later or something like that.
Right. Oh, Mark.
you know the story.
Oh, I know. I look back on recordings all the time, and I'm just like, you really thought that was like a decision. You like those choices really took, you know, conviction. Well, I would do it totally different today, you know?
We had Jan Leszewski in here last week, and he was talking about that same idea. He can't even listen, really. It gets to that point.
I love him. I don't know him very well. The only thing I know about him is right after he left the Royal Conservatory, they gave me his prize. So, and I see him in the hallways. He's like this tall, glorious figure. But yeah, I think he's a wonderful pianist.
So Juilliard and then 6 years at the Glenn Gould School. We just had James and Agnes in here, actually, not too long ago.
Dean of the Glenn Gould School.
That's right. It seems like you
I was just I was his pupil. Yes.
I know.
Yes.
And what was that experience for you? That's a good long time to be there.
The Glenn Gould School was a catalyst, I feel like, that changed the trajectory of my life as a musician, as a person. It really, like, they plucked me from obscurity, I feel like. I had just spent 2 years in Shanghai at the Shanghai Theater Academy because I wanted to perfect my Mandarin. My parents were doing a lot of business there, and I wanted to sort of do a little bit of inner work, learning what it meant to be an artist and a performing artist through the medium of acting and the stage and theater. Fresh off coming from that, I was looking for places to go to school at 18, and I auditioned at all the big name schools everywhere, and it just I didn't feel the click.
Interesting that you did deviate a little bit from the total piano path.
It's 100%.
You were definitely looking at the other elements of the arts world.
I just think that life is really long, and if you want to be in music and you want to make your mark in music, there has to be something other than just the score and just the inspiration of others to keep you different and to keep you real. I can't advocate enough for musicians to find another medium that improves their outlook on music. So, it really created who I am today.
Right, and informs who you are as a player.
As a player.
Just because of those experiences, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
Nice to have that. And then you've gone, you've tried some different things, you're looking for schools, and for whatever reason, Glenn Gould just plays.
So all the, the auditions go well, I do my rounds, you know, and I never felt, like I said, that click. And all of a sudden, I, you know, get an invitation to go audition at the Glenn Gould School. I'm like, Canada? Really? Like, and that is not me saying that I don't want to go to Canada. I'm just like, why Canada and why now? You know, because from what I know, Toronto is like the next New York City.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so I'll give it a shot. I mean,
And Canada hadn't really been on your radar up until that point.
I just feel like I wasn't informed enough to know, like, what a big hub Toronto and, you know, Vancouver and Canada, like, what a force this country actually is. You know, right. I feel like I was a little oblivious.
But that's fair. I mean, an American and Chinese experience, you wouldn't be the first to overlook this.
Yeah, but I mean, Glenn Gould.
Right.
Greatest pianist.
Right.
In the world. I mean, so I came here, I auditioned, and I remember it so clearly. The dean was like, what do you want from the Royal Conservatory? What can we do for you? And I was like, you know what? I'm here because I want to be in music. I want to live my life in music. I want to dedicate my time, my soul to everything that is being a musician. And I think that this place can foster that kind of future for me. And I was right.
Jameson Agnesen has talked about you in the past as being this force of nature in your own way, for sure. articles that I've read.
I hope all good things. I mean, I did an interview with Ludwig van, and the dean and I worked very closely together. And during so many lessons, he'd be like, Rosina, you know what? You are polarizing. People either love your playing or they can't respond to it. And I think that's also why I've not gone the typical route of competitions, general management, all these sort of routes that somebody my age would be going about into. And I'm super grateful that the Royal Conservatory gave me the time of my life, really.
I like that the path has been different for you, and it's fascinating in its own way. And I just look, 620,000 followers on Instagram right now. There does seem to be this separate world that some classical musicians go down a different route. I mean, have you thought about why the online community has gravitated to you as a performer and how that route is perhaps different, and what your path is different?
Yes, that's a great question. I think that living in today's age, you know, wanting to not be a part of the dialogue online, I just don't think it's possible anymore.
I agree.
I remember
choppy waters.
Yes, I remember being 18, first coming to Toronto, and being at the Glenn Gould School. I was barely online. I had no online presence. And I was like, you know what? I'm a serious musician. I want to be known for my music. I don't want to participate in that dialogue. And you not capitalizing and participating in that is just an outlet of people that you're not going to be able to reach. It's ignoring people that maybe will come across your recording online, or will watch a reel of yours, or will see a photo where, I don't know, they respond to your dress or your shoes and they're like, oh, this person's actually a concert pianist. I want to check them out. It's you shunning the future.
Yeah.
So
it is interesting. I do see it all the time where there's artists who come up with that support behind them, especially now, young performers, a lot of young performers. And then it feels like sometimes the record industry or, you know, some of the bigger brands and titles in this business kind of catch up and go, okay, we would like some of that as well, you know, because it is a lot of attention and it's just a different way of getting to these, you know, steps that you can take.
Yes. Yeah. And Mark, I got to tell you, I think there is so much merit in, you know, musicians who still don't want to participate in Instagram, TikTok, YouTube,
sure,
social media. I have tremendous respect for them. I mean, everybody that I look up to, Martha Argerich, Evgeny Kissin, you know, these people.
But they are of a certain generation.
Generation.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, as I think of it all the time, it's like, it was a better time. But, you know, this is the world we're living in, and you got to join the narrative.
And you have embraced it. Tell us about this program, November 18th, a hot Friday night of Beethoven, Bach, and Chopin. Tell us a little bit about the evening you've put together.
I'll give you a little bit of a backstory. When I was in school, and I think Ludwig van has said this about me, I'm a little bit of an overachiever.
Okay.
Just a little bit. And in school, I wanted to tackle these anthological works. So most people play one scherzo, I want to play all four. I want the whole book. If some people want to play 12 preludes or, I don't know, a couple etudes, that's not going to, I want to play all of them.
All
and
24.
I want to play all of them in concert. And that drive to make it a challenge for me, where it's not only mentally challenging, physically challenging, emotionally, you know, you're exhausted by the end of it. It's just, it's exhilarating for me to try and conquer something like that.
So that's what you've put together.
Yes. And, you know, the Bach, opening with the Bach was almost like a little bit of an homage to where I came from, like in the Glenn Gould School, right? Because Glenn Gould and Bach, it's like, you know, bread and butter.
Absolutely.
It's, and I had to really just incorporate some of that into the program.
Not to mention wildly popular, and everybody loves to hear that piece of music. And then Beethoven and Chopin, and I think it's going to be a sparkling evening, and I know you're going to sparkle on stage. Really a pleasure meeting you here this
Thank
afternoon.
Thank you so much, Mark.
I like your spirit. In
Thank
this business.
You.
So
Thank you.
Great to meet you. Rosina Grieco. And Friday, November 18th, she will take the Kerner Hall stage at the Royal Conservatory in downtown Toronto. And it is Rosina Grieco, Bach, Beethoven, Chopin, the four Scherzi, the 24 preludes. You just heard her. She decided she wanted them all. And tickets at rcmusic.com and her website as well. Have a look, rosinagrieco.com. Here is Rosina in performance.